Monster Man, episode 198. Falcon to Fire Friend, parentheses, Giant Firefly, close parentheses. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are beginning our journey through the F chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. We've got two really interesting monsters today. I still think this might be a little bit of a short episode, but some are longer, some are shorter. That's just kind of how it goes. I say this partly because the first monster on the docket is of a type that I never really find all that much to say about, and that's actually because it's such a good monster. By which I mean, our first monster is the Falcon, parentheses, Hawk, close parentheses. And falcons are great. They're definitely something you think of when you think of medieval and pseudo-medieval settings. They are cool birds that have a lot of real-world cool animal facts associated with them. And as we know, one of the best things to include in an animal-inspired monster is a cool animal fact. They're pretty great. You can use them for hunting. You can be attacked by them when you're in the woods or climbing a mountain. You can have bad guys who have a link with them and control them, like some kind of evil ranger who hunts men kind of thing. It's got a fun rule that represents its super fast dive, although, you know, a falcon would have to be pretty crazy to make a dive attack on a human being. And it's got a rule where it can peck your eyes out. Every time it makes a successful beak attack against you, there's a chance that it blinds one of your eyes. That's a pretty terrific. It even says that very large falcons will sometimes carry off small humanoids, which is to say halflings, right? I mean, pretty much. All the other humanoids are medium. Maybe gnomes. I don't know if gnomes are small or medium. I mean, I don't know about, like, a falcon. You can certainly imagine, like, a vulture or a condor swooping down, picking up a halfling in its claws, and flying away. That's pretty horrible. They're terrific, and they come, like all good animal monsters, they come loaded with a lifetime's worth of significance. So that we know what a falcon means, or another kind of bird of prey. You know, we have symbols for all of them, and they even, we know that they mean slightly different things. So a peregrine falcon has kind of a different meaning to us than a shrike. Is a shrike even technically a kind of falcon? I don't know. It's a bird of prey. There's that great bit in The Once and Future King where he gets turned into a hawk and he hangs out with the other hawks and they sing a little song about themselves, you know, when he's like learning lessons from different animals in the animal kingdom. But what that means is that I don't really have anything to say about this monster that you don't already know, because the whole point about it is that it's very universally accessible. So falcons, parentheses, hawks, close parentheses, are pretty great. And they're another example, just like the eagle from two episodes ago, or three episodes ago, however many episodes ago it was, they're just useful. It's handy to have the stats for these creatures. You know what to do with them. I'm a little bit surprised that they weren't in Monster Manual 1, which I think I also said about the eagle. But so falcons and hawks present us with something that works because of its familiarity. The next one presents us with something that is utterly bizarre in a kind of charming, fairy-tale-y, children's booky kind of way. Now, if this comes from somewhere else, I don't know where it is, so if there isn't, like, an origin for the Fire Friend, let me know. I'd be interested to find out. Here's the deal. The Fire Friend is, as the name, parentheses, giant firefly, close parentheses, implies, a giant firefly. That's cool. But the giant firefly is friendly, hence the name Fire Friend. This is sort of useful in that it can, like, follow you around, lighting your way with its glowing butt. If you attack it, well, what kind of a heal you'd need to be to attack the Fire Friend, it can defend itself by focusing the light into a butt laser that can do you a good amount of damage. But that's not really what the Fire Friend is for. The thing about the Fire Friend is that it loves to hear stories. They're not super bright. It says that they're of low intelligence by human standards, but clever. And I think what we're supposed to take from that is that they're sort of childlike, because what it really loves is to hear stories. It wants to hear stories about your adventures, and it wants to hear, like, the more fanciful the story, the better. And if you can tell it good stories, it'll be your friend. And that's just kind of it. They love talking to people. They love hearing stories in particular. And they can be sort of useful in that they, you know, they glow and they can fire off the occasional butt laser. But they're not fighters. They're not going to come and help you in your battle. They're just sort of nice. Although it doesn't say this in the entry, it seems obvious to me that this makes them very good clue monsters. Because they love to hear people talk. They're not super bright, so they could very well, you know, get talking about another story they've heard from someone else who passed by their hollow tree. And in the story that they're telling you, you recognize some piece of important information. So the fire friend is just like, you know, a pretty typical sort of chatty Cathy information dropping NPC, but wrapped up in this layer of like fairy tale whimsy that normally I have kind of reservations about in D&D, but in this instance is just so goofy and like has a little bit of an element of danger and grossness to it in the form that, you know, it is a big old bug with a butt laser that I feel like it sort of works. Even the name is sort of okay. I mean, it's a firefly, it's your friend, it's a fire friend. I think this is probably the best possible monster that could have the name Fire Friend. All of the other ones are much more sinister. But I feel like this is something that would be nice to include in a game, you know, once or twice. I feel like I would give it a cheerful kind of 1950s-y kind of a demeanor, maybe even a little bit kind of more old-timey than that. So that it would just sort of like you'd tell it your adventure and it'd be like, gosh, Aruni, what happened then, mister? Gee whiz, how did you get out of that one? That kind of stuff. You know, I feel like that would be a lot of fun. And it's certainly the case that people like talking about themselves. So I think that an appreciative audience for Tales of Derring Do would be something that some characters would appreciate. But the, you know, insofar as they have like a plot or adventure purpose, I think it's definitely that, you know, there's a weird talking firefly that lives in a hollow tree. And like, if you're trying to find, you know, where the last party of adventurers got to, or where the legendary lost cave is, you might be like, oh yeah, that other fella said he was looking for the same thing. I guess, you know what I think of when I think of the fire friend is Jeff Smith's Bone. I did a special episode on it way back a couple of months ago now, but Bone combines that sense of high fantasy with giant insects. It's got giant insects in it in the form of these like bees. It's got that kind of like old-timey, chipper, upbeat dialogue style sort of lifted from Walt Kelly's Pogo. And I think that's kind of how I imagine the fire friend talking, is in a Jeff Smith Bone kind of way. Admit it, you thought I was going to hate this one, didn't you? Because, look, it's dumb, don't get me wrong. But it's a good, like, it's an honest, cheerful, and friendly kind of dumb. And I can't bring myself to dislike it. And I genuinely think that the idea of just, like, this chatty Cathy who hangs out, I don't even know what fireflies eat, but, you know, eating whatever fireflies eat, but much more of it, and living in a hollow tree, and, you know, coming out, and presumably he's got a whole family of other fireflies, and he's never going to get to be an adventurer, so he loves to hear tales of travelers, and therefore he might actually know more than he realizes. I think that's all terrific. I think definitely put, you know, where you were going to have an old hermit who knew what was going on in your next scenario, put a fire friend, just to remind people that we're not in Kansas anymore. That is, if you're running that kind of game. If you're running the kind of game where the world is mostly normal, but then monsters are, you know, a horrible intrusion into it, then, you know, don't do that. Forget I said it. Okay, hey, this didn't run that short after all. That's about all the time that we have for today. In our next episode, we're going to be talking about yet more giant insects, as well as some creatures from Chinese mythology, question mark? On Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.